It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin shipwrecks tell an important story about industry and trade in our state in the 1800s. But early pioneers also built long piers extending into Lake Michigan that were fueled by the logging boom.
These pier complexes are long gone today. Now they're now called ghost ports. A project underway at the Wisconsin Historical Society aims to reconstruct the remains of old commercial ports like Roxville near Port Washington and to share this history of Door County.
Amy Roseborough is the state archaeologist of Wisconsin, leading the archaeology program in the State Historic Preservation Office of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Amy, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, thank you. Fantastic opportunity to speak, and thank you for having me.
Well, tell us, what is a ghost port?
Ghost ports are small complexes that exported lumber and stone and other materials in the late 1800s that no longer exist today. So they are little communities that used to extend all up and down the Lake Michigan coast, and they've left very few traces behind. Maybe a road name, maybe a dot on a map, and that's it.
So you have very few clues to understanding these little tiny communities that were from like the 1800s.
We believe there were over 100 of these on Lake Michigan shores at one time, and we're having to delve not just into the archaeology, but into period newspaper accounts, genealogical records, tax records, to reconstruct histories of places that have mostly been forgotten.
You know, we love to explore shipwrecks here in Wisconsin. Why should we care about these lost piers?
Well, these piers made Wisconsin what it is today. This is the place where the forest was exported and sent south to Chicago to build the cities and towns in the Midwest. These are the places where immigrants and colonists came ashore to carve forests out, or to carve farms out of the forest land and to establish their new lives. This is why Wisconsin's rural counties are farming counties for the most part. These piers made it happen.
Mm. Why did some of these piers just disappear? What makes a pier endure versus ones that are just lost, these ghosts?
Oh, that's something we are looking into. Further south, Kewaunee County down through Chicago, it seems to be where you are in the landscape. Do you have a harbor, a river that enters the lake that would attract government attention and funding to make breakwaters and lighthouses and harbor facilities? Once you get up into Door County, though, it gets a little bit more mysterious. So we're still trying to learn, you know, why did Sister Bay and Whitefish Bay survive? Why Bailey's Harbor when Toft Point and Newport and Hedgehog Harbor didn't? So sometimes it comes down to luck. Sometimes it comes down to the people involved.
One of these places, Roxville, you know, you do have some interesting remnants of the pier. What can you tell us about this particular pier project?
This is the pier project that got everything started, that brought these little communities to our attention. So we were approached by the descendants of the Ronk brothers who owned the Luxemburger Pier Company and are the Ronks behind Ronksville. And they asked us to find this community for us. One of the individuals who contacted us, David Hearn, had a terminal diagnosis. And this is something very important to him. So we went out to help, found the pier remnants offshore, found part of the pier actually washed up on the beach. So he was able to sit there and, you know, and touch his ancestors' pier and know that he was at a little place intimately connected to his family. And as we did the research, we started finding other names, Linsville, Yorkville, Nordheim. And well, these places aren't on the maps either. And realized at that point, there's a much, much larger story that's hiding here on our coastline and in the rural areas that have mostly been overlooked.
What I thought was just fascinating were some of these pictures, unknown dates of when they were taken, but you see a rail truss and how precarious these piers were right on the water. Can you describe what they look like?
Oh, they would not be OSHA compliant today, that's for sure. If the ground was soft, they were just piles driven in with a steam pile driver and then decking put over that. Once you get up north, you can imagine building a log cabin on the ice, filling it with stone, and then letting it melt through the ice and drop. So they're called pier cribs, and they would be used as anchors, and decking would be put on that. No safety rails, very rough planking, wide turnarounds, and sometimes the piers couldn't handle the load. They would collapse under the load of material stored them. Sometimes horses would run and jump off the end because they got spooked. Men would fall off or they'd get their foot trapped between the pier and a ship. They could be very dangerous places to work, but the piers are, again, where the forests were loaded onto schooners, where arriving immigrants came ashore, where the supplies that kept them going through the winter months were brought in. So they were lifelines on top of everything else.
When I think of names like Ronxville and Yorkville, I think of these bustling communities that maybe were built around this piece of connection, of transportation. But that isn't so, I understand. Can you talk a little bit about the place of pier in these fragmented communities?
So they were usually pretty small complexes. You'd have the pier extending into the lake. At the base would be a general store or a pier store. This is where boots and shoes and coffee and molasses would be supplied to the local residents. And they could pay for these with cash, or they could bring in timber products that they had cut on their own land and exchange it for what they needed to keep going. You'd have warehouses, lumber yards, boarding houses, workers' housing, stables, blacksmith shops. Some of them had cheese factories as they were trying to expand and make more money in various ways, granaries. But for the most part, they were just little industrial centers, and populations maybe 20, 50 to 100 people at the most. But during hauling season, you might have lines of 20, 30 wagons loaded with tons of timber backed up on the roadways leading to the piers as everyone tried to bring the forest products in for sale.
Oh, wow. So you're really collecting, not just the physical, but the newspaper accounts and the written word that can date back to this time. How important has that written word been?
It's been incredibly important. These aren't just places. They are homes for people. They are locations where, in some cases, multi-generational businesses got their start. And as we saw with the descendants of the Ronk brothers, they're very, very dear and very important to our current citizens, not just in the historical sense, but in an emotional sense. One of the amazing things about researching these piers is not just the history of the place, but the history of the people. Some people succeeded. Some people experienced tragedy. Some people lost everything that they had attempting to run these businesses. And it just varies from port to port. Everyone has its own story, despite the similarities up and down the coast.
We're talking about ghost ports of Door County area, these sunken piers, on land relics of Wisconsin's coastline that were part of a major economic transition in the state. And Amy Roseborough is here, the state archaeologist of Wisconsin. Amy, let's get this ghost tour to another place. Take us to Newport State Park in Ellison Bay. What should we understand about a ghost port there?
So Newport, anyone who's visited and gone to the swimming beach has, without knowing it, been sitting more or less right on top of the old post office and pier store.
Wow.
Just offshore are the remains of the pier cribs, and you can kayak or canoe out that way. And if the water's clear, look down, and you should be able to see the tops, just under the surface of the water. You will find pieces of the pier on the beach washed up as well. There were several chunks out there last time we visited a few weeks ago. Newport was established around 1881 by a couple of Scandinavian immigrants, and it was just a typical port of its time. It had all the usual support buildings. They shipped out cedar posts and hemlock for railroad ties, hemlock bark for tanning industry, telegraph poles, and they had a couple of sawmills there as well, so they're shipping lumber south. And it had the same kind of trajectory many of the ports did. Once the timber was gone, there wasn't much else supporting it. The owner at the time heard tale that the railroad might come north and platted out an immense paper town capable of holding 700 families. And he had such plans for the place. Of course, the railroad never came, and the town was never built around it. And eventually, it just faded away, became a farmstead, and then was donated to the state. And there's just a kiosk there now, just saying, this was Newport, a few photographs, and that's it.
The direction of the railroad and where those tracks were had such a significant role, it seems, with these piers.
Yeah, further south, the railroad is what does them in eventually. The steam traffic and schooner traffic on the lake just can't compete. It's cheaper to ship by railroad, and the trains can run all year long. They don't care about lake ice. And they're a little less prone to sinking in storms. So, you know, a little cheaper to send stuff south that way.
So as a tourist in the area, you're taking out a kayak. Do you have any tips for understanding this history and knowing what to look for when you look down below you?
Well, keep an eye on a website, wisconsinshipwrecks.org. So as we accumulate our histories and get our reports out, they're being put on that website under the research tab for anyone to take a look at. And we really do ask that people come visit these places. So Toft Point, one of my favorites, absolutely beautiful place, a state natural area just on the north side of Bailey's Harbor. And if you don't want to kayak or swim, you can walk right in and take a look at the stone quarry there. And there are piles of stone still piled up in the woods waiting for schooners that are never going to come pick them up again.
Wow. So are there things that we should make sure that we don't touch, or if we see these areas and maybe we find something in the sand, what should we do?
Leave it be. Items in the water especially don't like to be taken out of water, especially things that have been in the water for 100 years. They look fine when you pull them out, but they're going to disintegrate in short order. So if at Newport State Park, for example, the visitor center has quite a few items that were found on the beach. And so you can tell the park staff, hey, this is here, you know, I found a 2-foot iron drift pin from the pier on the beach, and maybe it's not great for a kid to step on, but perhaps you'd like to retrieve it. You know, let them decide what needs to be picked up or not. Otherwise, just leave things be.
Can you talk more about this project as a whole and where you're heading with understanding these piers and their place in Wisconsin history?
Well, the goal eventually is to basically write the history of Wisconsin's rural coast during the era of colonization. In other words, how does Wisconsin become Wisconsin, and what role do these ports play? So right now we're investigating differences in location. Are the ports in Door County operating and having the same trajectories as the one in Kewaunee County or Racine County? What's going on in Green Bay? The piers themselves are built differently in each location. Are the railroads near? You know, what role does weather play? And eventually we hope to have a unified story to say that, hey, our coastlines are important. You know, it's not just the cities, it's the little places in between that people don't think about today.
In terms of the technology you're using, metal detectors being one of them, what have you found by doing the metal detection and the hits?
Metal detection is helping us find the location of some of the buildings. One of our Kewaunee County studies, we were able to pinpoint the location of what was probably the carpenter shop that way. Some quick checks, and we found a concentration of giant wood files for probably working on the pier itself. Or some of the blacksmiths would also have a sideline making wagons. We may have found a wagon factory as well. Otherwise, we've been very honored to have Dr. Dan Joyce assist. He's a specialist with ground penetrating radar equipment, and he's helped us find the location of several buildings using non-invasive scans. So he came up with us to Newport just recently. So we were looking for that post office and store, but again, we think they have long since fallen into the lake.
And so with that ground penetrating radar, what are you able to understand from the surface, from, you know, standing and not having to dig down deep?
It can see the footprints of the buildings with luck. So you see a square rectangular outline on the scan that shows this is where a foundation stood, or this is where a basement might have been put in, or the ground was disturbed in some way. So that's what we're looking at. And then we don't have to dig. So we would like to leave these places as undisturbed as we can.
What will you need to follow up on with these, for instance, you know, the things that you do find through the technology you're using?
Well, for the ones that are in public ownership, like Newport State Park, we'll be giving that information to the DNR. So it's going to help them manage, you know, help them decide, well, we need to put in a new changing stall or toilet area. Maybe not this location. You know, maybe we should put it someplace else. So it'll just help with management. We're also hoping to help with interpretation. So we have a maritime trail sign being planned for installation at the road that's nearest Ronks Pier in the near future. So we'll be unveiling that in July. And then visitors that will have no other indication Ronxville, but they will be able to go there, see pictures of the Ronx brothers and their pier, and understand that they're standing at an important location in Wisconsin's history.
Amy, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
That is Amy Roseborough, the state archaeologist of Wisconsin based at the Wisconsin Historical Society. We've been exploring the ghost ports of Door County, and you can view Amy's recent webinar on ghost ports. It is available at wisconsinhistory.org.
If you have a tip or a question about a ghost port along Wisconsin's Lake Michigan shoreline, get in touch with us. Call or text us at 888-642-0232. Or send an email to Wisconsin Today at WPR.org.